Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Principle before par.
You.
It's not one of our problems in this province.
Here, here.
What about one that says no terrorists in government?
Here, here.
What about one that says no ifs, no buts, no Sinn Féin First Minister?
Here, here.
Gráinne agat cáin cóirlea. Is mór an honour dú Seasú an Seó mar fríomhara. Today opens the door to a future, a shared future. I am honoured to stand here as First Minister.
Welcome to Free State, everybody, the second part of our Ulster Says Yes podcast. Joe says yes, we all say yes. And
Ulster says yes.
Imagine how different it all would have been if that had been the rallying cry. Joe, there's a few things I want to ask you about that we touched on in the first part. You mentioned Jamie Bryson a couple of times, and you know, I think lots of people might have seen his live tweeting of the DUP meeting, and you know, however, the kind of the frenzy that caused. But explain to people who don't know, who don't pay attention, who Bryson is. And I know were you on his podcast? Were you?
He's sort of managed. And I suppose it's more a comment on the dearth of sort of talent that there is on that side of the loyalist gene pool, that he's sort of managed to become, you know, quite a significant figure by making sort of, you know, pale imitation of Ian Paisley speeches, you know, I don't think Jamie's to be taken seriously at all. I mean, look, you know, he's hinting, you know, he always hints about his links to sort of loyalist paramilitarism, and you know, he's coach of a wee soccer team, apparently a very good wee soccer team. But what I was saying, he just wants to be famous. You know, that's my impression. I mean, I would regularly get texts from Jamie.
Mm.
You know, I text him back, you know, it's entertaining enough. And he's constantly badgering me to come on Free State. He says, come on, it'll be great. Come on, like, get me on, it'll be great, it'll be brilliant. I think about Jamie, and I said this to him outside the court one time, not that long ago. I was sitting with a couple of boys, and he came on, he said, oh, come on, bring me on the podcast. I said, you know, I've now diagnosed your issue, Jamie. You are a Roman Catholic born into the wrong religion. You know, in truth, what you want to be is one of us. You know, and I said, look, it's easy to be jealous of us, the confidence, you know, the good education. I said, you know, and if you cut yourself a nice Catholic girl, we could take you to the matches. You'd love the crack, you know, and you'd be a new man And I gave him various examples of fellas that I know who had done that, you know. And he walked away sort of not sure whether to laugh or not. I said, I promise you, you'll be a tremendous Catholic, Jamie. I shouted that after him down the corridor, you know, and at the Crown Court. You'll be a great Catholic, Jamie. Come back. As he ran into the lift.
You began the conversion.
You know, not to be, I mean, I appreciate, look, if you were in a different situation and you had, you know, a serious, serious sort of loyalist terrorist threat and, you know, it was sort of a civil war situation again, someone like Jamie wouldn't be a figure in that, you know, because he's not substantial enough. But the media, as you know, hankers after and relies upon friction. And so, you know, he's constantly on BBC Radio Ulster and on the television because he provides that sort of voice of, you know, Ulster says no, himself and Jim Allister. I mean, Jim Allister, you can't turn on the TV in the North without seeing Jim. I have to say, I feel sorry for Jim. He's a bad article now. He is a bad article. And, you know, has always been very sectarian. I mean, he used to write letters into the paper under the moniker, you know, concerned Ballymoney Protestant. I would think every Ballymoney Protestant is concerned. And so I think that now that this deal has been done, I mean, Jamie's, I mean, what's the point of him now? What's his point?
Where
does he go now? You know, the friction will have to be found elsewhere. I think probably the friction will now be primarily between the DUP and Jim Allister, because it's clear that Sinn Féin are going to be extremely circumspect in their dealings with the DUP. I mean, there was zero triumphalism. There was only respect and mutual respect. And I thought Emma Little Pengelly was very respectful as well. And now that they've forged this deal, the DUP have to make it work, and it has to be seen to be working, because, you know, they've told their electorate, we're going to make this place work.
Well, isn't that something you said on Tuesday's show? You talked about, you know, we're in for a period of boring politics. And I do kind of wonder about that. Is this, again, like the actual absurdity of anyone from any tradition in the North aligning themselves with the Tory party when you don't...
Well, that's,
you know, when you don't have anything in common with them, when there is nothing, like, yeah. You see Rishi Sunak arriving and trying to give a kind of a pep talk, and, you know, now Sunak is appalling, and, like, you know, he's coming from his, you know, Piers Morgan interview where he actually takes a bet with Piers Morgan on getting people on planes to Rwanda, like a moment of political stupidity and heartlessness that's just sort of says everything about how inept he is as a leader and how little he has in common with so many people in Britain and especially in Ireland. So now you have politics that needs to work. And, you know, this alignment with the Tories, alignment with the Brexiteers, which was so crazy, has to end in favour of actually doing things that are meaningful for the people in the North.
Yeah, personal relationships are key to all of this, and there's going to be nowhere else now for, you know, the old Ulster says no blood and thunder brigade to go, because, you know, the DUP was it. They were the definitive protest party. I mean, they've never accepted the Good Friday Agreement, you know. I mean, Paisley destroyed Lord Trimble. I mean, they absolutely destroyed him, you know. And this is where it was going to be. I mean, if there was going to be a resistance and a protest, you know, politic, this was where it was going to be. And now it's gone. And I mean, you know, obviously, you know, it's been deeply upsetting to the Irish establishment and to Fine Gael in particular. And I mean, I read all the papers voraciously on Sunday. And even though I should have been less naive, no, but, you know, it Sinn Féin becoming the first party and the very first nationalist first minister, the southern media denoted that a loss, a defeat. You know, I mean, the Sunday Business Post didn't even mention it on their front page. There wasn't a mention of it. You know, the Sindo had a front page headline, and that was, well, SF's First Minister O'Neill, sorry for all lives lost. You know, IRAing, IRA.
But
there was an attack job, but just bear with me. There was an attack job by Shane Ross, the ghastly Shane Ross, you know, who's a real f***, you know, and has always, I mean, that's the guy, you know, who was appalled that Mary Lou had a mortgage. He wrote a book about Mary Lou having a mortgage. You know, that's the sort of, you know, and really, people like that, the Fine Gaelers, etc., are now, they will now take the place of the DUP. You know, here's some of the stuff that he wrote. You know, oh, standing between Michelle O'Neill and Sinn Féin's Conor Murphy. You know, Mary Lou declared the rebirth of Stormont met we were within touching distance of United Ireland. This was red meat to the hard men in Republic and West Belfast, who she is permanently trying to ingratiate herself with. Oh, blah, 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 you know. Mary Lou openly demanded to be recognised as senior in ranking to her Northern Ireland-born colleague, Michelle, all the wee barbs, you know. Her lack of a paramilitary pedigree contrasted with Michelle's family, many of whom had been in the IRA. Mary Lou is deeply conscious of her need to be accepted by the military wing, you know, all that stuff, you know, all that owly shite. You know, pathetic, insulting shite, and you know, there he is, like, and that, you know, that was emblematic of the response. You know, as though this was a defeat, as though, you know, something had gone wrong to allow this to happen.
Well, I saw again, headlines like Michelle O'Neill elected first nationalist first minister in New Dawn for Northern Ireland politics. I did see headlines.
Where did you see that one?
What?
Where did you see that
one? The Irish Times.
See, as usual with all these things, you know, with them reacting to the events as though they were defeat, you know, the Northern nationalist has always been lesser. And it's strongly felt. I mean, it's strongly felt. We talk about these things. I'm asked about it. I was asked what it was like when I was down there, you know. It was left really to the UK press, the United Kingdom press, to applaud this transformation, you know. And, you know, Emma Little Pengally and the DUP were far more gracious than the Irish establishment, you know, and the Irish media, you know. I mean, this is what Sean Kelly was a president of the GAA, and he ought to be ashamed of himself for this. He tweeted, "A decade of opportunity," says Mary Dean McDonald. No, Mary. A decade of opportunism by Sinn Féin. When the DUP deserve credit for swallowing their pride and getting the Northern Ireland Assembly back, the DUP, you create division by calling for a border poll. Calm things down. You know.
What's so wrong with that?
Just, you know your fucking place, Northern Fenians. You know, don't express your ambitions for a new Ireland. You know your place. That's what it is. That's what's wrong with it. Talking down to us. You know, and meanwhile, you know, the DUP have sold this by saying this strengthens the union. Look at this document. We will spend every fibre of our being, we will spend it all our time, strengthening our sacred union. Now you answer me this question. Why is it okay for them to talk about that? No problem whatsoever. They talked about it all day on Saturday. And on Sunday, and on the talk shows, and Geoffrey Donaldson talk. I didn't see Sean Kelly saying, "Well, hold on, Geoffrey. Let's take a step back here. Why do you think he didn't do that?"
Well, I saw stories like, you know, DUP spectacular Brexit own goal. I saw things like that.
That's not the question that I asked you.
No, but that,
Why is it not helpful for people from my community to express their ambition and desire to see a new Ireland, right? But it is helpful for the DUP.
Yeah, well, I don't think
to talk about the strengthening of the union. So what's wrong? I mean, so you know, it's like, you know, it's not helpful. Just like calls for a ceasefire in Gaza weren't helpful. You know, calls to support South Africa's genocide application were not helpful. You know, sit down. sit down and calm down, he says, you know, about, you know, the Sinn Féin leader on such a hugely historic day for us in the North, you know. And Sean can go and fuck himself, because he never raised his voice. He never raised his voice during the entire Troubles, you know, when we were under the cosh, you know, when we were being murdered, you know, when we were being oppressed, when we were being imprisoned, when we were denied the vote, when we were denied houses. Sean never opened his mouth, you know, and, you know, telling us to say, oh, you know, you're second-rate citizens, you know, don't express your ambitions, you know, don't express your lawful ambitions that are set out in the Good Friday Agreement, you know.
I think you can, yeah. I mean,
he would love to, he was on the very verge of going into, you know, IRA atrocities and all of that, but I took him on then publicly. I says, I cannot believe you were the president of the GAA. Have you ever read the GAA's charter, what its ambitions are, you know? You should be ashamed of yourself calling yourself an Irishman and a GAA man. You know, and what a blinking gum bean. Oh, you know. Just let me read that again. Just, I mean, I can't believe you said what's wrong with that. A decade of opportunism, not a decade of opportunity. The DUP deserve credit for swallowing their pride and you create division. Division.
I think you can actually, you making the argument that Sinn Féin have created division isn't a huge insult to all nationalist people in the North or anywhere. You know?
The raison d'etre of Sinn Féin is a united Ireland, but we're not allowed to express it. You know, the Sinn Féiners are not allowed to express that. I'm not allowed to say, for example, you know, I'd love to see a united Ireland. That's divisive of me to say that.
What's wrong with that?
In the same way as what's wrong with them, a little Bengali saying, well, look, you know, I want to strengthen the ties of the Union. Great. You know, it's fine. If that continues to be the legitimate position and it works, you know, and that's what you want, well, that's, you're perfectly entitled to express that. Nobody's going to say it's divisive for unionists to say. it's the raison d'etre of unionism. That's what they are.
Well, if...
Well, what's divisive about it? So what's divisive about somebody from my background saying, you know, I'd love you in Edinburgh? That's divisive.
Well, it's funny because it goes back to your Michelle O'Neill's speech last Saturday, dealt with the North and governing there and what was going to be done there. You know, and there was nods to United Ireland. She was talking about looking to the future and this kind of stuff. But it would have been received entirely differently if she had made a speech talking about, you know, the raison d'etre of Sinn Féin is a United Ireland. It would have been seen as something that was less welcome.
I don't really care.
No, but that's the truth, Joe.
I can honestly say this, and the reason that I don't care about it is because you people down there didn't give two fucks about us. You know, I mean, I remember when she went on the Late Late Show with Ryan Tuberty, you know, the guy who loves Louth so much he thought it was an Ulster. But when she went on the Late Late Show, do you remember Ryan's body language? Frozen, and his face frozen, you know, as though she had leprosy. You know, this sort of, and you know, somebody put up some footage of that Late Late Show appearance with Leo Varadkar on with Ryan and Micheál Martin. Honest, Ryan, you know Micheál, the ham actor from the Israeli propaganda videos. And the difference was absolutely striking, you know. Because she was one of us, she was lesser, she was inferior, and could therefore be treated as such, as someone, something dirty about her. So, and I'll tell you, you can do it all you like, you know. And they can say what they like, all these Fine Gaelers. And Simon Harris was at it as well. Simon Harris talking about, you know, very, very unhelpful. He said it was provocative. I'm trying to think exactly what he said. Simon Harris said that...
When did he say this?
That talk about... He said it the other day. He said the talk about a border poll was... I'll just get it here now. He said it was provocative and divisive and unhelpful. How long? I took a note of it at the time.
You follow too many Fine Gael politicians on Twitter, Joe. That's your problem.
That was the point of it, you know. I mean,
unfollow this.
Sir Geoffrey on the BBC on Sunday said, look, you know, we are going to fight for a thriving union. You know, people do not want talk of a border poll, all right? Michelle O'Neill says she wants to be a first minister for all. That means a first minister for the unionist community. We will fight for a thriving union, right? Sunak comes over and says, oh, the Sinn Féin First Minister should concentrate on day-to-day concerns and forget about a border poll. You know, to which I say, fuck off. You know, it's a legitimate, peaceful you know, ambition for us to have, you know, something that we hanker after. You know, I think it makes perfect sense from economic, social, every rationale. I mean, there's very, very little holding us to the United Kingdom now, you know, and I think that it is going to be inevitable. But this idea that we can't talk about it, Simon Harris said, Mary Lou's comments concerning United Ireland are provocative, political, and reckless. The next time I see him in Ballina, I'll give him a Heaton Harris, I really don't think a border poll is going to happen. You know, like, what would he know about the North? He had to be briefed about the number of counties that were in the North before he came here.
I think you need to unfollow some of these Fine Gael politicians on Twitter, and you'll just lower your blood pressure. We want a bit more serenity, you know, a little bit more peace from Joe. I don't want you looking at Simon Harris's tweets and getting this worked up. Like, no, that's not a...
I don't like the dishonesty of it, you know, because it's completely dishonest. But deeper than that, and this is the worst thing about it, is that this feeling that the Northern Catholic is somehow lesser, that we are somehow lesser, we're dirty, you know, we're tainted by Provoism, you know, we're to be watched, we're not to be trusted, we're divisive, you know. I mean, look at the enormous strides that were taken by my community for peace. You know, things that people said would never happen. You know, and let's be fair about it. If my community hadn't wanted peace, there wouldn't be peace. You know, we were the ones that moved on it. You know, and I mean, what we're going to see now unfolding is that the people from my community in the North are only interested in equality. They're not interested in triumphalism, being better than anybody else. And I think that what we need to see now, and what I think we will see over the next 3 or 4 years, is a bedding down of actual working relationships rather than this yaboo of, you know, which is what has passed for politics over the last 20 years of, oh, what about that IRA atrocity? What about that IRA atrocity? Oh, you stand over there, you know, you're the sort of the evil spawn that you come from, you know. All of that is now going to be replaced by working relationships. And I suppose in a way we should be thankful to Jim Allister for a lot of this, because the DUP are now making clear ground between them and him. And that clear ground is going to be working politics. You know, no longer just no, 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 destructive, 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 but working politics.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You know, and look, it's, I mean, obviously Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil are terrified about what's coming down the tracks with, you know, this sort of all-Ireland political juggernaut that is Sinn Féin. That's fine, you know, and they can... But you would have thought there would be some grace and some sense of celebration about what happened on Saturday, but no.
But look, it is interesting because we, you know, it's something we've talked about a lot, and that
now Ireland's call on the Irish rugby team, yeah, that was, you know, that was, I mean, that was glorified all over the place.
Yeah, but that was,
I mean, you could have you would have been forgiven for thinking on Sunday, reading through the papers, that this was some minor event that had happened in the north.
But like the thing is, Joe, and I agree with what you're saying about how when people start working together, that'll do more. And when there's progress in just the boring politics, that'll do more for bringing people together than anything. Yet at the same time, when I watch Michelle O'Neill's speech, and I've said it, how impressive I thought it was, there is also that moment when you're, and you know, going back to the Sunday Independent headline, when, you know, she said she was sorry for all, she was sorry for all injustices and tragedy,
all
injustices and tragedies, you know, all of them. Yeah. And I, again, and you know, and you can't, like, the past is never the past, as the saying goes. Like, the past is going to be something that has to be reckoned with, and not
is that the saying?
It's somebody said it somewhere sometime.
Well, people say all sorts of things. Do, yeah. The past is another country, yeah, you know.
That contradicts that one.
It's
not even past. Who said, like, that? The past.
Unless we personally suffer some really horrific tragedy and injustice, you know, and we're then tied to the stake with that, you know, we move on very, very quickly from the past, human beings, you know. And I mean, there are also a very good example of that. I mean, young people now really couldn't care less. They have no interest in Protestant or Catholic. I mean, all you have to do is go down to Belfast city centre on a Saturday night and you will see the place is absolutely bouncing. Mm. We have a thriving gay quarter. You know, we've got, you know, and what we have and why things are being transformed so quickly, and all of the polling shows this, is the younger generations, they don't care about this nonsense. They have no interest in it. They can't even remember it. Mm. You know, so it's got nothing to do with them. And there's this wave that's been sweeping over the north, this wave that gave the Alliance Party, you know, the Middle Ground Party, such a triumphant election the last time.
Mm.
You know, and people now, young people now, are looking just for progress, you know, and they're looking for the logical arguments for what's best. And look, I think there's an awful lot to be excited about the north. There's an awful lot to be excited about Ireland in general.
Well,
you know, over the next 10 years, you know, and I'm really, you know, enthused by what the DUP have done. You know, they had to do it sooner or later, and they're finding now, and they're going to find very, very quickly that it was the right thing to do, you know, and they've got to be feeling a lot better about themselves now, a lot better, you know, moving about their communities. They'll be able to go back and do the work that they're supposed to be doing. I mean, you know, we have 3.3 billion now coming from the UK Exchequer, which couldn't be spent because there was no Stormont. And 3.3 billion is a lot of money in the north.
Mm.
And so, you know, there's a lot to look forward to. And I think that slowly but surely, this transformation, first of all, from the sort of the dead end of violence, this miraculous peace process that's, as I've said it before, the most spectacularly successful peace process, in my view, in the history of the modern world. And that's now moving to the next vital phase, which is real politics. And, you know, I think that as Michelle O'Neill was asked the other day, would you go to an Orange March, you know, and she said, look, if I'm invited, I'll be going everywhere that I'm invited. And all these barriers are still to be broken down. There's absolutely no reason that she wouldn't go to an Orange March and be one of the guests there. No reason whatsoever. These are very, very important things in the Protestant community. You know, extremely important celebrations, you know, of great historical significance, but more fun days out as well. And so I think we're going to see a lot of symbolic gestures like that. But also, I believe now, a serious working relationship. Because the other important point is this, Dion. Like, when the Good Friday Agreement was made, right, none of our politicians knew anything about politics because they'd never done politics. Yeah. So, you know, you were really starting, this was a sort of a, I think it was Stephen Ray described it as a sort of a holding center for sectarianism, you know, to keep the lid on it, to get them together, to switch the violence off, you know. And slowly but surely, they've started to learn about politics, how it actually works. But now, you know, there is a clear job of work ahead. They've left behind now the IRA and the yabooing and the, you know, the tit for tat sort of slanging matches across the chamber and nothing being done. And, you know, the Stormont being closed more often than it's open. That's all in the past now. And so there's a huge amount to look forward to.
And how confident are you that it is in the past? Because, you know, like as you said.
Very. Because, I mean, how can we go back? We can't go back anywhere now. I mean, there's no violence.
No, I don't mean in terms of violence, like, but I mean in terms of the stop-start nature of Stormont. You know, this, yeah, but like...
Yeah, but it's an important thing. You know, politicians don't have to look over their shoulders anymore. I mean, another serious error of judgment on the part of the DUP was not only did they throw their lot in with Jim Allister and Jamie Bryson, but also with the LCC, you know, so the umbrella group that represents loyalist paramilitarism, which is essentially drug dealing in the north, and you know, they've now clearly separated themselves from that as well. Let the PSNI do their job. There's nothing to fear from these people because, you know, somebody's going to be drug dealing. Might as well be loyalist paramilitaries. You know, I mean, someone's going to be drug dealing in every part of the world. You know. The DUP shouldn't be enthralled to those people. They shouldn't be making deals with them, making arrangements with them, you know. And so that's gone as well now. We've no, I mean, the dissident Irish Republicans are, well, because that's an embarrassment, you know. So they've been shunned. No one supports them. They've got no political clout. They've no protection in their communities. You know, they've got no resources. So all that's dead. So all that's been switched off. So now our politicians, for the first time, are faced with working relationships and doing real politics. I mean, appreciate that this, you know, is normal in the South, you know, where politics has been practiced now seriously since, I suppose, 1921, 1922, after the War of Independence. You know, I mean, obviously you had the Civil War, all the gore of that. But, you know, we have a very, very polished political class now in the South, and so we're just starting out in that journey.
And where does it, you know, like
where does it end? A united.
Well, that's where you'd like it to end, but like,
Well, to be honest, I don't have any strong, you know, I mean, like, I'm just thinking of it from the perspective of what makes sense.
Well, see, I agree with you. I think there's no logical, like if you were to look at it logically, you'd say this is it makes complete sense. It's especially when we've seen what's happened with Brexit. Like there is no, but even before that, it does make sense. Yet there is still a long way to go, I would say, to persuade the people of the unionist tradition that this is something that they should want to be part of, that they will benefit from this. And yet, and I accept your point about the younger generation, because one of the terrible tactical own goals of supporting Brexit the way the DUP did was to actually ignore the younger generation in unionism who might have an identity that is part unionist, but also saw themselves as European, progressive, liberal, all these kind of things. They didn't want to be justified by a very narrow unionism that also aligned itself with Nigel Farage and Brexiteers. And by going so hard for something like Brexit, they jeopardize, you know, what is it? What's 20% of Brexit, people in the North Brexit. Are voting for parties that aren't unionist or nationalist. Like that's a huge
Brexit was the roller coaster, just going over the top and
that was tribal.
Brexit
like, that was
the end of the union. Yeah. And despite as Sam McBride, you know, again, very respected unionist commentator from the North who writes for the Independent, He said, he wrote, despite its bluster, the DUP knows the union they loved has gone forever and it will not return. Doesn't mean necessarily the union's over, but it'll be different. Different in a way they didn't foresee and don't want and will never be able to change, and which they brought on themselves.
Well, that is the great tragedy of unionism, that they did that, because they went and created a situation that they didn't need to. They jeopardized it. They poked. You know, you had a situation where you actually had a stable position where everyone could be themselves, and then they actually jeopardized it. They poked the bear and they woke it up.
Yeah,
and they're living with the consequences. And now
for the first time, and it will be, they will find this a relief for the first time in their political lives. They can stop lying. They can stop lying to themselves. They can stop lying to the people. They can just do the job honestly. And that's what I'm looking forward to more than anything else.
Okay, Joe. Well, thanks everyone for listening.
No surrender.
To surrender.
And we're going to close today with a man we talked about in this podcast, Jamie Bryson. And Joe talked about how he's very keen to get on the podcast, to come on Free State. So we have an audition tape here from Jamie Bryson, which we'll leave it to you, the listeners, to decide whether it clears the bar in terms of inviting him on the podcast. And Jamie has had a tough week politically, suffered a few blows, but I think when you listen to this, you'll agree that talent like this can't be kept down for too long. So take it away, Jamie.
In the archer, seaside town, performed by some stalwarts and 20 men. They said we would go like wine, but now we're 10 seasons on, 10 times a storm, the light of old Northland. So come join with me, won't you sing along, for the tales of borrowing time.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.